Welcome back. I really needed that sit. I was going to spend the day really quiet and, have a long bath and go over my notes, relax, sit. And the phone rang all day long, all afternoon. So, and usually when I'm sitting here, I'm looking at the clock, wondering what I should say next. And today I just fell in and I needed that. So I'm going to do something that I haven't done before on a Monday night. Usually I have, text and quotes and, the Dalai Lama said this, that, and the other thing. But I'm not doing that this time. I'm doing something different. And I hope some of it sounds familiar. I'm really going to share this as a reminder because it became an important reminder for me over the last few months. So to start with, I'll just say that a couple of weeks ago, my partner Ricardo and I went to Bodega Bay with my puppy. And there's a house there on the ocean that we like, that we stay in, and it's very bright and the deck has a view of the ocean, and my partner is a jazz pianist, so he plays the grand piano, and we just hang. And we also like to drive around to the towns, which I'm sure you're familiar with, Occidental and Tamales, and other towns for our meals, because in March when we went, nobody wanted to cook, and we took all this food with us, thinking we were going to enjoy cooking, and nobody wanted to cook. So we learned that our meals would be out. So I think our second day, we went to Tamales to have lunch and sit out on the sidewalk across the street from the general store. And we met a man there. His name is Bruce. He used to be one of the people that ran the Renaissance fairs, if some of you remember those. That was at Black Point. So we talked for a long time, a very interesting person. And then he said, I'm a storyteller. And what I do is I tell my story to encourage other people to tell their story. And as he kind of went on with that, I started thinking, I have just gone through this very interesting change in my Dharma practice. And that is my story. And so I've been sharing that story, encouraging other people to think about their own practice and to reflect on what is their story today in this moment. At this time. So here's my story. I was introduced to meditation in 1970 in a yoga class. I didn't know that we were going to be meditating. I just knew we were going to do yoga. And after the yoga, the teacher led us into a meditation, candle in the middle of the floor. We're in a circle. And it was one of those completely out-of-body experiences. And even though it was fascinating, I kept wondering, how do I get down from here? And so that was, I thought, is this what meditation is all about? That was the first experience. And I continued to meditate, but, no guidance, and I didn't have help, and I wasn't in a community that practiced. So finally, in 1991, after going through a lot of activism and non-activism and raising my daughter and stress and, all those things that we face in the world, I decided that I was going to start sitting again. This was 1991. So I sat by myself and something really important happened to me. I discovered emptiness. I discovered a not knowing mind. After thinking I knew everything, all of a sudden I knew that I didn't know anything. And I just started there. And I just sat. And at first, I'll admit that I couldn't even sit for 3 minutes because I kept thinking of something to jump up and go do, or to move the flowers to the left a little bit, or, whatever the distraction was. I could barely sit for 3 minutes. And pretty soon it was 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, half an hour, longer than an hour, just sitting with lots of emptiness, even not knowing the teachings of the mindfulness practice and what insight meditation was. I had fallen into that experience. So I decided that I needed a place to practice, and I had heard about Spirit Rock and had, in fact, driven by here many times and wondered what was going on up here. You know, I couldn't see any buildings, and I didn't know what this place was all about. But I finally, a friend of mine said, you know, I go there on Monday nights. Why don't you come with me? And so I did, and I started sitting here, and I sat Monday nights for a long time, and I started going to daylongs and some other things, and before I knew it, my activism identity came back, and I decided that there needed to be programs for people of color and women of color, sitting groups and retreats and daylongs, and you know, I had all these visions, and before I knew it, even though my practice was continuing to grow, that's what I invested my time in for 17 years. And with a lot of attachment and a lot of expectations, a lot of disappointments, and also, of course, some joy, a lot of joy. But I realized I was getting more and more tired. And yet it was something that I just couldn't let go of until I just hit the wall. And still it was hard to let go of. And this is where the story really begins. I did something that was very difficult. I let go. I completely let go. And I went back into this space of silence, back into this not knowing mind. And one morning I woke up, and the first thing that came to my mind while I was sitting was being peace and doing peace. And starting with myself. And it changed my life. I had been practicing all this time, teaching Monday nights, daylongs, other Dharma centers and sitting groups. And here I was working so hard, packaging my practice, not just as a practitioner, but also as a teacher, that I lost that beginner's mind. And I started realizing that the very first book I read about practice was Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind. That was my first introduction to this practice. And it really saved my life at that time. And here I had come full circle back to that place. So now my practice is I start out in the morning taking off all of what I think I know, temporarily, putting it on the shelf, and going back into that beginner's mind, back into that not knowing mind as a practice to start the day, and go from there, as opposed to just, you know, getting my iced coffee and going zoom into the day and all the things that I have to accomplish, using my checkoff list of all the to-dos and really getting satisfaction as I work down the list and, you know, just being really, again, attached to that. So I'm not saying that it's easy because attachments really sneak up on us all the time. Attachments to people, my daughter, my partner, my home. It's very easy to be attached to a bowl of ice cream and disappointed when it's gone. You know, that's what that attachment thing is all about. You know, the disappointment, the pleasure and the disappointment as opposed to just being in the moment. So it's really a moment by moment thing, back and forth, back and forth. And really, I guess the hardest thing about being in the moment, which we all practice, it is our practice to be present and to be awake. But in that moment, to not be attached to the past nor the future, but just what is happening at that time. And that was, you would think I would not be surprised that I had this awareness because I've had it all along. But here I am again. So it is a strategy, I suppose, that I can set aside what I think I know, or that all of us can set aside those things that we think we know, to be able to receive fresh new thoughts and ideas that really can define the moment in a new and special way, as opposed to the same you know, that we've experienced with every day. And in my case, it's been an experience of samsara, which I'm sure most of you are familiar with. There's so many definitions for samsara, but in my case, it's like doing the same thing, making the same mistake over and over again, needing to start over, over and over again, or a cycle, you know, being involved in a cycle, and sometimes the life and death cycle of coming back and reliving the same experience is samsara. So I realized, looking back and really thinking about my experience as a practitioner, that I have repeated some of the same patterns, not only in my practice, but just in my daily life. And, you know, when I started sitting in the very beginning, when I really became very dedicated in my practice, I would sit, have a great sit, and then I would just get up and just go do what I needed to do and leave the experience on my cushion. Stayed there, and I was gone. And it took me a long time to realize that it wasn't just about sitting. It was about living the practice, living the Dharma, living the Dharma. And for me today, that is a new Dharma. Even though we know the Dharma is not new, it is a new Dharma for me to know that as I walk and as I drive and as I, you know, wash the dishes or drink a cup of tea, that I am in practice during those times, in those moments. And when I'm experiencing something that's not pleasant, I am still in the practice because I'm in the moment. And I always love the story about how the Buddha was asked if he was a god, and he said he wasn't. And he was asked, well, what are you? And he said, I'm awake. And so, you know, being mindful, even though sometimes difficult, because we think it's supposed to be pleasant all the time, being mindful really means just being with what is, no matter what it is. So now I'm in a new challenge in my work with a very difficult personality that is problematic for me and feels toxic, in fact. And for years, one of the things that I've done around people who appear or seem to be toxic, for me at least, is to just make sure I remove myself from that energy, you know, go somewhere else or, you know, relate somewhere else. And that's been a very safe practice to do. But this is the first time that I've been in that kind of relationship where I can't move and I can't go away. So this started, I think, it's been coming for a long time, but it really got pretty bad in March. So I went to my dear friend Alice Walker, and we sat down over a cup of tea, and I told her the story about this personality. And she's a poet, so she thought for a minute, and she said, you know, that person's been there for a long time. That person's going to continue to be there. So just put them on a little sailboat with a blue sail with a picnic basket and send them down the river. So I thought, this is a new strategy for dealing with toxic personalities. So, you know, it's a visualization. I'll try anything. So soon as I started thinking about this person, and when I saw this person, she was in that sailboat down the river all the time. In, you know, our desks are near each other. We might be in the same meeting, or, you know, she was still in that boat down the river. So that was a practice for a little while. Of course, right now she is not in that boat anymore. And she is definitely not down the river. She's in my face. So so these things, you know, coming back to the beginner's mind right now is very helpful. And I'm thinking as I go forward, of course, I'll learn more things and my practice will grow and evolve and will continue to offer more liberation to my life. But I really think there is something about being willing to come back to this empty space, opening it up, letting go, you know, combing out the cobwebs every morning and just starting with what is in front of me. And in that case, it's nothing. There is not knowing there, not knowing. There is emptiness, starting with that. Whereas in the past, as my practice grew and as I grew older, I collected so much. I just had a war chest of information, thoughts, and ideas, and emotions, and feelings, And like I said, you know, sit and just leave it on the cushion and just dive back in. So I've come full circle. I'm back to this. So what I would like to do, and I haven't even told you everything I want to tell you, but the reason I'm telling you this is because this Bruce that we met in Tamales, he's the one that said, the best story I can tell is a story to get you to tell your own story. So what I would like to do tonight, in relationship to this body experience, this grounding experience of letting go and just naming what's in front of you, I would like some of you to tell your story, a brief story. And I think the best way to do that is to turn to someone you're sitting next to and just take a couple of minutes and tell something about your practice that is with you today, right in this moment, after this sit, while you've been listening, and then change and have the other person tell a story. And perhaps we can hear some of these when you're done. So how are we doing out there? You think it's time? You think it's time? Okay. Okay. This is always the hardest part, bringing people back. So we're going to pass the handheld mic so we can hear you clearly. And you have one of two choices. You can share your own story, or you can share the story that you just heard. I'll leave it up to you. Who would like to go first? Don't all raise your hands at the same time.
My name is Olivia. Is it on?
Okay, my name is Olivia, and I just I was on the phone with my kids before I came here, calling Mexico, and my little youngest kid was expressing witnessing domestic violence, and as I was sitting here, I was meditating, you know, trying to meditate, and then this all these thoughts that are affecting me, you know, to be centered in my body, so. I was just looking in my mind, trying to find solutions for these kids that are being abused. And at the same time, I was being angry to the person that abuses them. And sad, and all these feelings inside of me. You know, and as Marlene called for us to stay with something, before the time ended, I thought that, you know, wait a minute, that you're just trying to focus on someone else's problem, but what is the real thing under all of that? So the reality is that I myself went through abuse or domestic violence, so I identify my own feelings about how I felt as being beaten up as a child. So it seems to me that the feelings I was feeling for this child were representative of how I was feeling for me. And that was giving me a feeling of guiltiness by hating my mother so much. The guilty feeling for feeling like that. And also the feeling of not being loved. And how painful it was, so then I understand the depression that I suffer as a grown-up. And so the realization is realizing that I cannot do anything for any child that is being abused. That it is in my hands only to heal the wounded child I have in me. And as I'm doing that, or I was meditating, I was asking the universe that the spirit, the soul, and the body of every human being get aligned and connected with each other. So that way, that can make a better life for humanity and for the children in the world.
Thank you. Some of you know that I'm a professor at Dominican University, and I teach social and cultural studies, but I have been learning and teaching that we are all not only connected to all the whole universe and to each other, but we're also genetically connected, which is now just being talked about, that we have a genetic connection with each other. And, you know, we have this spiritual connection. So as we practice metta, for example, and we say metta for people who are in danger of violence, we are expressing that connection that we feel in our hearts for others. And when we sit together, that connection is evident in the room as we sit just in the silence. So we are connecting with you, Olivia. Who else would like to share? You don't have to cry, I promise. What came up for you in that sharing time with the person that you spoke with? Anyone? Yes?
Hello. I'm not used to talking on mics. During the meditation, I had quite a deep meditation. Can people hear me?
Not well.
Like that? Yeah? A bit closer. During the meditation time, I had quite a deep meditation. Thank you. And it was interesting because I've been working with emptiness a lot. I just moved here from Australia with my husband and lived there for 13 years but grew up in Mill Valley. And I was sitting with emptiness as we've just left our whole life and friends and family and, you know, have this, as I described it, this big sort of bell of, you know, emptiness at the moment that we're holding and open to new things. And in the meditation, I was thinking, have faith, have faith, have faith. And my partner is named Faith. So I thought that was quite beautiful. So I was sharing with Faith, which was lovely. And I just, through the sharing, I just was reminded how in that emptiness and letting go, connection is really important. And just being here, meditating with everyone, it's just reminds me that there's a sangha, you know, anywhere that you find yourself in the world. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Great, great. Anyone else? What came up for you in that brief time that you've shared?
I'm going to speak about the person that told me her story, and she was in Big Sur when the fire happened and had a lot of loss and watched trees burning, and her dog is now gone in her home. And so it's hard for her to sit. And she has decided that walking meditation is working for her better right now, and she just gets a little overwhelmed, I think, when she does sitting meditation. But she's here, and I think that's admirable. Mm-hmm. That's all I thought I would share.
Yeah. That's great. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, you know, we were taught that there will be suffering, but that there is an end to suffering. And part of it is just as difficult as things like that are, just being with it. As hard as that is, it's really the only way that suffering can dissipate, by letting it go. Watching it dissipate, looking at it, watching it, naming it as it dissipates, as opposed to holding on to the fear and the pain of the experience. And there's almost nothing more devastating than the damage and destruction of fires and loss of life very, very hard, and it has been happening to a lot of people, as we all know, recently. So, yes, we have to keep using our practice for healing, to continue the healing in our hearts and our lives and our families. Anyone else? Yes.
Well, this didn't come up in the meditation or in our conversation, but it's something that happened to me a few years ago that really got my attention about bringing peace in the world, into the world through myself in the midst of a really difficult situation. And what had happened was driving at an intersection. I was indecisive, and this man decided to pull around beside me and proceed to call me every name in the book. Mm. And, I mean, screaming at me, and then drove off. My first reaction was fury and anger, and I wanted to chase him and just scream at him and be just as nasty as he had been to me. And I found myself pulling over to the side of the road and shaking. And, you know, I just sat with it. And I let the anger go through me. I let the rage go through me. I let the sadness go through me. And all of a sudden, this thought came up that I'm every woman that's been verbally abused. I'm every man that's been abused. This is what it feels like. Mm. And it came back to, I knew nothing of what had happened in that man's day or in the morning. You know, he could have lost a child, or he could have, who knows what. And it was so incredibly powerful because I was able to sit there and have this connection with all the pain, all the suffering, all the anger, and then let it run through me. And I've never forgotten it. So, anyway.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, that's the process, just letting it go through you. And I know we all have experienced that. I had that experience the other day with a guy at a deli when I had a number and he had a number. And when his number 8 was called, he was nowhere around. And when they called number 9, I said, "Here I am." And boy, did he let me have it about 30 seconds later. So I thought, whoa, what did I do to this guy? But, you know, I had to do the same thing. First, I was, you know, upset and, you know, how dare he? And I had to let it go through because who knows why that happened, you know. So, yeah. Road rage in the Molly Stones. Anyone else like to share? Yes, in the back.
Well, I wasn't planning on raising my hand, but it just went up magically by itself. Well, what came up in the meditation tonight for me was a lot of fear. I have a 3.5-month-old baby at home. He's with his daddy tonight. And as I was doing my metta, and of course I do metta for my husband and my baby, free from harm. And then right away my mind went to my husband giving him a bath. And of course we have different ways of doing things with the baby, and that's a practice in itself, a letting go of, okay, daddy gives him the bath, standing back, and I'm like, oh, you know, there's a lot of different ways that we do things, and it's just letting go of the outcome or the attachment of how things are getting done around the house. And then I had a vision of, oh, there's not a washcloth, and there's not a towel, and then he's going to have to leave the bathroom to get it, and I better call him on the break, but I don't have my cell phone, and my mind's going, woo, 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 crazy, crazy. And then at the end you said, well, can you identify what's up? And I'm like, oh, all that fear. And I just used some meditation tools to ground myself and let the fear go and realize that, you know, that this is not really me. It's a fear taking over me, and then I've got to really have some faith here. And Also, what I realize is that the law of impermanence, what came up for me about how I've had it pretty rough for a while. I've been single for a long time, very hardworking, self-sufficient woman on my own, and I've kind of a late bloomer. I got married at 41 and had a baby at 42, and my life is so full, and I have so many blessings and so much abundance, both spiritually and materially, that it scares me. And my voice tonight said, don't take it for granted, be in gratitude. But then there's a law of impermanence because, you know, just how I was like there, then it comes like this and it's going to go back down maybe. I don't know. But I'm just really trying to stay in that place of being in the present and knowing that nothing's permanent. And, you know, things change all the time. But, that's what came up for me.
That's really great. That's great. Yeah, the thing about fear or sadness or, you know, any of those things that come up, the best thing to do is to just say there is fear present. It doesn't have to be a part of who you are, but you can see it. There is fear present, you know, and hold it out, look at it, watch it as it dissipates. But, yeah, we all encounter those moments and those situations. Well, congratulations on your baby. And your wonderful relationship. And gratitude is a practice, so yeah. That's a daily practice. That's a good daily practice, gratitude. Anyone else? We're in a roll now. Yes.
Hi. I was speaking to my partner about the endless chatter that goes in my head about the things that I'm sort of fearful of, and it seems as though no matter how much I run or meditate or see a therapist, those things just keep coming back endlessly. And I was really struck me what you're saying about, you know, the samsara that you've experienced, and my wife just spoke before as well. We're tag teaming, but having moved over here, I thought, new place, I'll get to leave all those things behind, but they just chased me across the ocean. And today I thought, you know, we've taken a few months off work, I'll get to relax and I won't feel anxious, I'll just be in a really calm place. And today I had like nothing to do and I just felt anxious and overwhelmed. I thought, wow, here it is again. And so I just had to breathe through it and just wait and just watch it, and eventually it dissipated. But it was just a real amazing experience. Just, you think, given the right circumstances, these things will go away, but they don't. They just keep coming back and you have to visit them again and be kind to them again and just sit with them. So that was my experience today. Thanks.
Thank you. I'd like to say something about that. I have found over the years that there was a time when I would feel things so strongly and they would last so long. Like, you know, if I'm upset with my partner, it's like it was my project to hang on to that that anger. You know, keep it going, keep it going. but I've learned, and thank goodness that I haven't lost this guy, but I have learned that through practice over time, it does start to get less and less when it comes back. Doesn't last as long as the time before. And hopefully, you know, I guess nirvana is not having those emotions and feelings and anger and fears, but it does get less and less, especially if we practice letting go. And, you know, oh, here's my old friend again. Yes, you know, just going into that space of emptiness and letting go and having trust and having faith that the baby's going to get the bath and it's going to have a towel right there. He's going to have a towel right there and the washcloth and the whole thing. So it does get better and, you know, it continues to get better. And of course, I look forward to that myself. So now that we've had this experience and the sharing, you got to hear from some of those who were willing to share, had the courage to share. Let's just sit for a couple of minutes and just practice letting go of whatever is in the moment for you right now. Whatever you're feeling, what's happening, just breathing, letting that go. And if it doesn't disappear in these few moments, just look at it and name it. Name what it is. And of course, if it's peace, name that. Thank you so much. And there will be the last announcements before you leave. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.